Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Now, it is true that there is what is known as sophistry. There is a wisdom in Greece. We think of these great philosophers. We think of Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And it is true that these men were wise, and yet they did not gather true, full wisdom because they did not have wisdom personified. They did not know the true God. They did not have the same hope in the Messiah who was to come as their Hebrew contemporaries did. Yes, God allowed them some wisdom to grasp at who he was until he brought the truth. And that is why when you look at things like Greek mythology or Roman mythology, you can see that there are kernels of the truth in many of those stories. For instance, in Greek mythology, there is a man named Deucalion, his wife Pyrrha, and they are put on a boat and saved from a worldwide flood. After that flood is over, they then are fruitful, they multiply by filling the earth again. You can see that there are kernels of truth in that story. In fact, at least they give a name to the wife of the man who built the boat. Our scriptures do not give Noah's wife's name. But even though there are kernels of truth in those faith systems, the fact is that none of them can actually bring you to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is revealed in the gospel. And so there are kernels of truth. They had these stories passed down to them, but not the full truth. When Noah and his wife, the real Noah, not the fake Deucalion, when the real Noah and his wife came off of that ark, there were 8 people on the earth, 8 people who confessed in the Messiah who would come, who confessed that promise that was given to Adam and Eve in the garden, that the seed of the woman would overcome the seed of the snake, the serpent, the devil. Somewhere along the line, they decided not to teach the full truth to their sons. And so there were still these kernels. There were still people being prepared to receive that gospel message. For then at God's proper time, he casts out the philosophies of this world, and instead he gives us true wisdom. He gives us what true knowledge is. He gives us Jesus Christ. So that whether the most trained philosopher or the least can believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Jesus takes which is low in this world and he exalts it. So the philosophies of this world can be good for us to study. There are basic truths in there because God is the God of all people, even if it is marred. But the truth is found in Jesus Christ. And so we look not to the world, not to its empty deceit, but to Christ. I hear oftentimes that academics are all that really matter. That as long as you learn basic math and how that works, as long as you learn social studies and how that works, as long as you learn economics and how that works, it doesn't really matter if Jesus Christ is foundational in our schools or not. But that's not true, is it? Jesus Christ must be the foundation of all truth, all wisdom. And if we carve out the truth that is Jesus Christ, if we carve out the truth that children actually exist for a reason, that they exist because they have a God who has created them, and instead are told that they are here by some random act of chance, that when they are hurting, when they are broken by their parents or abuse or substances, they don't know where to turn because they have not been taught the truth. Yes, arithmetic is important. It is a part of knowledge. Yes, studying people groups is helpful. But the most important thing, the thing that every single day should begin with, end with, and everything in between, flows from the truth that is Jesus Christ. And if that is not where our education flows from, then we are not properly teaching our children. There is one thing that is needful for eternal life. And it's not that 2 + 2 = 4, as good as that is to teach, and as necessary that is. It's that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and that means each and in every individual life that is being taught. A child is more than a body. A child is more than a mind. A child is also a soul. And all three parts of them need to be taught the truth that is Jesus. Circumcision has passed away. It was the covenant that God cut with Abraham as a promise that the seed would come by his lineage. But now circumcision is made without hands. That is, comes through the waters and the word. The water and the word that is holy baptism. That we are cut into his covenant, not by a cutting of the flesh, but by water and the word. By the blood of Christ pouring over us. That is our identity. Our identity is as a child of God. Jesus is called a teacher in our gospel lesson, and he should absolutely be the chief teacher of all people. He should be the one to teach them the truth that he is the word that created all things, that he is the word that took on flesh and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross for all people. Good teacher. What must I do? What good thing shall I do to become eternal in life? What must I do to have eternal life? It's the wrong focus, isn't it? It's not what shall I do to inherit eternal life, but rather it's what Jesus Christ has done. Jesus responds, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God." And so he makes this man confess that Jesus is God, because what he has about to say toward the tail end of this conversation, if it's truly from God, then the man needs to repent and turn to the Lord. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus tells him the truth. You must keep all the commandments perfectly. Do you want to earn heaven for yourself? Keep every single commandment perfectly. But we can't, can we? This young man lies to himself. He says, "I have kept all of these perfectly since my youth." Lying to God, I see. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love God above all things and love your neighbor as yourself. This you must do perfectly in order to go to heaven by yourself. Thanks be to God, Jesus has done it for us. Thanks be to God, in our moments of weaknesses, in our moments where we despise and hate our brother, in our moments where we despise or turn aside from our husband or wife, in the moments that I am not content with what God has given me, but I desire that which my neighbor has, in the moments of my weakness of using my tongue to hurt as opposed to build up, Jesus Christ has died for my sins. I can't earn heaven on my own. I am a sinner. I am conceived in sin. That is my flaw. But thanks be to God, I have been reborn in him. Thanks be to God, I have a Savior that was perfect in every way that I failed. Thanks be to God that even though I can't believe this myself, He has done everything necessary for me to believe it. He has worked His Holy Spirit in each and every one of you. He has given you His Word, and by His Word comes the faith that is dwelling in you right now. If you want to earn heaven for yourself, you must be absolutely perfect. But you can't. But thanks be to God, He was, He is, and He is the God of us. He has created all things for us. He has redeemed us back. He has purchased us back from sin, death, and the devil. And He sanctifies us. Jesus tells the young man, "Great. I'm glad that you've kept all the commandments that have been given. There is one more thing that you need to do." And here Jesus gets to the very heart of who this man's God is. He says, "Sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." St. Mark paints the picture that this man is actually quite rich. And so he walks away empty. Not of his earthly riches, but he walks away empty because he chooses his riches over the Lord. 2 weeks ago, you heard the words from Matthew chapter 6. You cannot serve God and mammon. It is true that you can enter into eternal life whether you have a lot or a little in earthly possessions, but it is also true that you cannot enter eternal life if you do not have Jesus. So whatever it is that keeps you from worshiping the Lord, whatever it is that keeps you from fearing, loving, and trusting in Him above all things, lay it at the foot of the cross and receive the forgiveness of sins. Take up your own cross and follow Him. Eternal life is not something that we've earned, but it's been earned by Jesus Christ on His cross. The church sings. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. Forgive us, Lord. To Christ we flee, who pleads for us endlessly. Have mercy, Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.